What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is April 12th, 2023. We are here for your AEW Dynamite post-show review. But if you're new here, we're here every night, every weeknight at least. Raw, SmackDown, Rampage, Dynamite, NXT, Impact, ROH. We cover all those here on the main channel. That's in addition to now 2 to 3 interviews a week and several new shows a week as well. Show us some love. Leave that thumbs up. Leave us a nice review over on Apple or wherever you can leave reviews. Even if you watch the video version, that stuff helps us out an awful lot. But there are a few things that helps us out even more than that. Super Chats, Humper Chats, youtube.com/Fightful. Also, Humper Chats over at humperchats.com. That's our Streamlabs platform. Allows us to keep a little bit more of it and lets you get your question or statement before we even go on the air for like. Maybe there's something you hear us talking about today and you say, to hell with Sean and Alex. I want to hear Will Washington talk about it on Day After Dynamite. You can just leave a little note, leave it on humperchats.com, and there you go. We've also got fightfulselect.com, which is the most accurate, most robust, exclusive wrestling news service there is. I'm going to brag about that later, but it's just $5, and trust me, you will not regret it. I would love it if we could hit 10K over there. Tonight, maybe we're like 72 away. Never thought we would get back there, but we've got some contract news coming tomorrow, and we had some other big news today. We got Alex Palowski here. He hosts shows 10 times a month, usually on FightfulSelect.com. Alex, how you
doing?
Yes,
indeed. Getting over some horrible respiratory issue that just seems to not want to go away. I joked that I was allergic to Indiana, which may very well be the case, but it did not go away when I came back to Illinois, so I'm just trying to get through it.
I've been battling a little bit of it as well, and I was also in Indiana this past weekend, so
that might be it.
That might be it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what was it today, Alex. Over on FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the wrestling business, we reported that CM Punk has communicated to AEW numerous times that he is open to returning in a variety of manners. The full article is at FightfulSelect.com. He has said that he would work with the Elite. He said that he would work separately, and he said he would go elsewhere. Now, I should specify, when I hear that he says he'd go elsewhere, I don't know if he means like the Indies, WWE, New Japan, or like ROH. Like, I don't know. I don't know what it is he means by that, but CM Punk wants to come back. We saw him respond a little bit to our report with this Instagram story, of which is objectively funny.
Very funny.
There is no debate there on that one. But how'd you feel when you heard that story?
Well, I'm happy that he wants to come back. You know, I don't feel like it should be a unilateral decision. There are a lot of people that he offended, pissed off on his way out. And it was incredible. Like, regardless of what he like said and the brawl or whatever, doing all that with your boss sitting right next to you in front of the press, knowing how horrible position you put the guy who runs the company and signs your checks. Like, if Tony Khan were to say, yeah, you know what, I'm good. Like, I couldn't say that was a terrible position, but would it make a ton of money? Yeah, it would make a ton of money. Could they easily push tens of thousands of extra tickets into Wembley? Yeah, they probably could. So, like, there's a lot of ways to look at it. But I am excited for the possibility of some really interesting storytelling coming out of it.
We're going to have more on that as we can on FightfulSelect.com, but plenty more coming to FightfulSelect.com this week. I'll say that as well. But leave a thumbs up on this video, guys. That helps us so much. Share it on social media. That helps us as well. But we have a few super chats. Anonymous says, Double or Nothing, Forbidden Door, All In and All Out. These next few months of AEW are going to hump. Yeah,
that's true.
I think they have a very special opportunity for August, September to make that the biggest non-WWE wrestling week since when? Since 98, maybe?
Yeah, probably.
Looking something?
No, I don't think you're overlooking anything. No.
I'm overlooking anything there. We got Fantastic Mr. Cox that says, Uncle Phil jokes aside, AEW could do better hyping the return of someone not seen on TV a long time. Keith Lee has been gone for months. There was no reference to that absence tonight. There are other examples across the roster too. Well, I mean, he's kind of been back. I don't think it's been months. He just, upon his return, there was some pretty, like, it just wasn't put over a lot. He's been on Rampage and Dark. Like, he came back over a month ago.
Right. Well, how long ago was the tag match with him and Dustin versus Swerve and Parker?
That was last
because month. Last month. So it feels like it was a longer. It was six weeks to 2 months. So the time between that and then never actually pulling the trigger on doing a Swerve and Keith Lee. I know we were both kind of like, why aren't we getting that at Revolution? And that all that intervening time has kind of felt like they brought him back to do that tag match with Dustin and then just shelved him until he came back and was like, Chris Jericho, a man I have never interacted with here. I believe you've disrespected Adam Cole, a man who I once famously pounced into the third row. But I respect him so much, and therefore we will have a match. It did feel a little disjointed, but it does look like we're actually really moving forward with a Keith Lee storyline coming out of this, which is good.
We'll be talking about that shortly. Jambeard says, "How's Alex Rhodes Moxlowski feeling tonight?"
I got color last night. My face imploded. I got a spontaneous, ridiculously forceful nosebleed in the middle of the show last night. So, yeah, it's all good now. Well, it's all good now.
We kicked off the show with Swerve and Darby. Darby got an insane amount of screen time tonight. We're talking like the first 35 minutes of this show.
Oh, yeah.
Were either commercials or Darby was involved. We first started off with this fantastic match between Darby and Swerve. There were some things that I didn't like, but first off, I want to talk about some things I did like. I like that FightfulSelect.com accurately reported that Brian Cage's deal was signed, and I saw a lot of people say, well, it was obvious after last week. It wasn't signed till this week. They hammered out the details last week. This creative has been around for a little while, but I can tell you, he worked with an agent and that definitely upped his money, but which is also smart. Most wrestlers should be working with agents. And the only people that will tell you that you shouldn't are the people who have to deal with the agents and pay more money as a result of the agents. But this creative, I understand, was presented several weeks ago. And that's something that Brian Cage looked at and was like, oh, well, that's interesting. That's good. And it makes me happy because we don't have to see Parker and Trench anymore. Which everybody knew was a bad idea, Alex. We all knew it. How did we know? Well, this Trench fella, all due respect to him, we had no idea what he could do because he hadn't done anything.
Right.
Hadn't done anything. Maybe one day he'll sprout. I don't know. We knew what Parker could and couldn't do because we had seen him not do those things prior. And then when the action started, it became very abundantly clear he was not him. Brian Cage is an infinitely better choice.
Oh, here. It's a huge upgrade. And when you actually have the idea that the entire embassy under the umbrage of tutelage of Prince Nana is also part of the this thing. And Swerve in his like road to Milwaukee thing, talking about there's a bunch of more people I'm going to bring into this. This is not the end of the mogul affiliates. You got Toa Leona and Khan as well. Like that's a great little stable of guys that that will look great being chucked in the direction of Keith Lee. That will be fun.
Sorry if there was some sort of sound change, guys. I don't know really how to handle that, but there were some things I didn't like about this match as well. I thought it was overbooked. I thought that it kind of undermined the new merger of Swerve and Brian Cage very early on, that Darby thwarted all this stuff. I think that at least early on, it should be established that this is a threat. This is something to be reckoned with. Everything besides that I looked at and I loved because Swerve is such an unbelievable performer. And we saw him at the start of the show, the middle of the show, and the end of the show tonight, which is what I think you need from a guy like Swerve. I love the Mogul Embassy. I love that I don't know if it was intentional, but, you know, there was a big merger in wrestling last week. And then he's like, I got a merger of my own. And that's what we did there. I thought that was really, really great. The in-ring action was incredible. A common theme that I like, good pins can beat good wrestlers. That's what I love. And I've always loved that about Darby, too, in The Last Supper. Just incredible. And Swerve strikes every time he hits that one kick, that one specific kick. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. Yeah. It's one of the best I've seen in wrestling.
Yeah, it truly is. This was excellent. The Poison Rana from the apron to the floor. That was insane. Not quite as insane as putting a man's foot in your mouth. He just pulled out of a wrestling boot. That's probably not something I would do. Of all the crazy things that Darby Allin has done in the ring, maybe like biting a man's besocked foot, not fresh out of the shower, but fresh out of a wrestling boot, might rank up there. I thought this was all great. The Last Supper is a great pin. There was a bit too much similarity with the end of this match and the end of the OC and Buddy Murphy match.
I agree.
I think that it just felt They just felt a little too similar, which is too bad because both matches were fantastic. I just wish that the agents had conferred and been like, okay, you're doing that. Well, we'll then alter our finish. I mean, that little things like that actually, to me, add a lot. But I love this match. And I think Swerve
is Poison Rana off the apron to the outside.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That was incredible. Just incredible. Now, later on, we saw Swerve backstage, and he was like, you know what? Your success is my success because I made you. I made you who you were. And he's like, so I'm going to take that as a win, and we're going to reignite some other feuds. Eloquent says the Poison Rana off the apron. Ouch.
Nuts.
Unreal. And Jane Beard says feet in the mouth is usually only seen on OnlyFans.
It's true.
Also true. That was pretty disgusting. I was like, oh no. It reminded me of the Bret Hart, Jerry Lawler, the Kiss My Foot match.
Yes.
Where Lawler didn't bathe and rubbed his foot in cow manure and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. We got Wombat in Combat saying, love tonight's Dynamite. Much love to Fightful. You guys are awesome. Well, thank you so much. We greatly appreciate that. I'm interested to see how the Swerve thing goes, but if he's going to have muscle, I'd rather him have muscle that can go in the ring. You know he can go in the ring.
Yes. Yes.
Well, after this match, MJF came out, and this extended the segment. Again, 35 minutes of this show. First 35 minutes, Darby was on the screen.
Uh-huh.
MJF comes out, and he honestly puts over Darby an awful lot. He's like, you're great. We had one of the greatest matches ever. And he didn't just say in AEW history. He said ever. And it was. Uh-huh. Like, if you would have seen that match live, you could have had even more of an appreciation for it. But I know MJF has long been very proud of that match. By the way, we unfortunately do have an MJF interview coming up on Fightful probably next week. But he's very, very proud of that match and what they did, considering that, you know, that was at one of the times where a lot of people thought that, or a lot of people would forget how good he was. They would often just, you know, kind of dismiss it. And so many other people that night were talking about Hangman Page and Omega and CM Punk and Eddie Kingston, as they should have, both incredible matches. But that show helped that, or that match helped that show become what it was. The Darby promo, I felt like it did go on a little long, but we don't hear this much from Darby. And Darby outlined his motivations, and his motivations were getting to AEW. And then when he got to AEW, he wasn't fulfilled. So he got into therapy. He started to talk to people about what did fulfill him. And he decided, dad's going to retire, going to buy my family a house, going to take care of them. I can personally relate to that as a motivating factor. So I identified with this an awful lot. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm starting to see inside Darby instead of like to skate, paint my face, go real hard, which he does, right. And he's great, right. And he's fascinating. MJF, before we get to the ending of this promo, MJF is that guy who can't quite understand why people aren't motivated by the things that he's motivated by.
Exactly, Alex. Exactly. Yeah. No, there was one little inconsistency, and I honestly don't believe they're inconsistencies anymore. I believe that MJF has accounted for these things, and this is a man who shows vulnerabilities, select vulnerabilities, when he wants to show them because they're part of the plan. But when he was feuding with Danielson, he was saying that I want what you have, and because you don't prize what you have, a family that loves you, and that you would risk it all to never be able to hold your kids again, then I don't respect you, kind of a thing. That's what pissed him off about Danielson. And then to say, in the very next feud, to say to Darby, you care about your family? Like, couldn't be me, bud. I don't care about that. So, like, there's an inconsistency there, but I believe it is an intentional one. You know what I mean? There's points there of how he's doing it. But I thought this was actually a really great little back and forth. I will say that a lot of the stuff that made Darby feel so real in this promo, then eventually in this segment was wiped away when he was like, you know, Max, this fake plastic world, I can't relate to it. And I was like, okay, whatever. Okay, Hot Topic. Whatever. You can move. You can move back to like behind South Park Elementary with all the other goth kids, because that just felt a little too on the nose
sure.
with the character.
Then MJF talked about his dad, Sting. He's like, impressive. You got that win without him. Mm-hmm. Then Sting shows up and man, again, I will never take for granted seeing Sting perform. I'm so glad that I did. But he comes out and he's like, I'm not his dad. I'm a cheerleader. And he starts throwing pom-poms at MJF's head, which I popped for. I was like, why is he doing this? But I did find it entertaining. He's looking for pom-poms. He's like, I know I got another one around here somewhere.
Yeah, I stuffed him in my jacket.
He stuffed him in his jacket. Parker Hines says, a decent show tonight. It's Sting! Vicky said, thank you, Sean and crew. Sting's promo rocked. The man is the icon. Potential final match opponents. Will it be All In? I don't think it'll be All In. I don't. I think that they'll probably get as much time as they can out of him, ideally. But I wouldn't doubt it to be that week in some capacity. Orion Ben says, pom-pom Stings for life. Sting, man of 1,005 pom-poms. That's good. But Sting even says, showtime's almost over for me, but it's just getting started for Darby Allin. Oh, made me sad a little bit. And I mean, there have been multiple times where I thought I saw the last of Sting. To be honest with you, when I was a kid, I thought I saw the last of him when WCW died. I thought, that's it. Probably never going to see him again. And at that time, it wasn't that out of the realm of possibility to see somebody 42 years old hang it up. Well, then he did the TNA stuff, and I was like, all right, cool. We get to see some more of him. I was very fortunate. But every year there was that drama of, is Sting retiring? Is he leaving? Or will Dixie pull it off one more time? Are we going to get the spike money for this one? How's it going to work? Only until that last year, when we knew he was going to WWE, did it feel like, okay, we're going to get some more of him. But then the injury happened and it's like, oh shit. I feel so fortunate by this last run. I feel pretty passionate about a couple things. Sting should have a big final match. And I do feel like before he retires, someone should go over on him, because nobody has, but someone should. And also, I think Brian Cage needs to hit him with a buckle bomb really badly to get that heat. To set up the eventual match that we're going to see. Brian Cage and Darby, or Brian Cage and Swerve against Darby Allin and Sting. Cage hits that buckle bomb. Sting goes down. They sell it. And that's what starts the match. But Sting basically saying out loud on air what he told Seahawk recently. He's wrapping it up soon, Alex.
Well, he wasn't going to go forever. And I don't think
says
he's going
to
do. I mean, forever is a long
Stenosis? Time.
He wasn't going to go. He wasn't going to do a flare. He wasn't going to go out there and do one of those things. Like my last match, where I am bloody on the outside of the ring for most of it. I was watching this and I don't know that I love it or hate it, but it did feel pointed to me that he basically announced, I don't have much left in the tank. I got something left. I'm not done now, but Showtime is going to wind up eventually.
Yeah.
The fact that he announced it in the ring, giving a promo to MJF, seemed pointed to me. Seemed like, I mean, not that he needs any extra, but how much heat would MJF get by like taking out Sting for good? I mean, whoever it is that does it, like you could do a thing where like his last match is versus Darby. It's a one thing, and Darby gets one over on him with the Last Supper, raises his hand in the ring, he bows, wipes off the paint, and says goodbye, leaves his boots in the ring. Or you could do an angle to get crazy heat. I don't know if I love it being MJF. It just felt very specific that he would say it to MJF. And I don't know that it'll be a thing where like that's MJF gets the last match, but it maybe MJF writes him off for a couple of months in the build up to this match with Darby. That's the one thing to get over Darby. If he's got a secret weapon against all three of his opponents, and the one against Darby is, I just laid out your grandpa Sting. Like, maybe that's it. I don't know.
Jane Beard says Darby had the best promo in this segment, in a segment that had three fairly good talkers and two great talkers. Yep. Jane Beard says Sting and Darby are undefeated in tag action. Make his last match a career versus tag titles match. Only time he loses in AEW is when he retires. There are so many good, possibly satisfying options, and that's another one, Alex. Yeah. There are a lot of satisfactory endings, because if they don't get a title match, well, I think that's a little bit weird because they are undefeated in tag action.
Yeah.
Trey Cash sent a very generous Humper chat. Thank you so much, Trey. You're always so awesome to us. Says, just leaving Dynamite here in Milwaukee, MJF was great. Told the crowd before the show the only famous person from here was Dom. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
God damn.
Well, yeah. It's not wrong.
Jesus Christ. This is why you never see an MJF interview with me go unedited. There's always something that a PR person is like, you're going to have to cut that. My God. It says, we're all known for beer and cheese, which made the crowd chant that all night. It was my first AEW event, and it was great. Yeah, that was good to hear the crowd. The crowd was hit or miss sometimes, but I mean, getting MJF to come out and get heat before the show is really, really brilliant. Trey, I'm glad you had a good time. I do love that Dahmer line, though. That's a good one. Jam Beard says, we need a Dom Mysterio interview done by Alex. Oh, wow. Antonio Morales says, I'm thinking about subscribing to Fightful. Do I go through Patreon or can I just join the YouTube channel? If you want the exclusive news and those podcasts, it's through Patreon. The YouTube channel gives you the ability to leave some extra comments. And sometimes we post some like outtake footage and some unlisted stuff on there as well. Mm-hmm. But mainly we push FightfulSelect.com. That's the best way to do it, which is a Patreon platform. MJ Johnson says, this is my third birthday in a row with Alex Podcasts, SGA for life. Keep up the good work. Much love from Virginia. Happy birthday. Thank you for spending it with us.
Yeah, thank
Throwback
you.
Says, I catch AEW on the fly at times. Watching you guys helps. Thank you both for being amazing, making my night better after a few rough days. Throwback, I hope you and the little one are doing well. Miss you, buddy. Hope you're doing great. It's great to hear from you. Our House Hobbs heard from Silas Young. Barely. I was excited. I like Silas Young. I love interviewing him in character. It's in Milwaukee. They book him whenever they're in Milwaukee. It was a short night of work for Silas Young. He got that ass whipped, and you kind of knew it was coming. This isn't about the match. Powerhouse Hobbs won. We knew it. He got a win over a former ROH TV champion. That's good. Wardlow's outside going full Goldberg. Well, not full Goldberg, because he didn't ignorantly forearm the glass, which is all I was saying. Like, please don't do it. Please don't do it. Wardlow destroys Powerhouse Hobbs' car. Do you think Powerhouse Hobbs has full coverage insurance?
I would hope so. That's going to be a very unique vehicle.
You know what QT Marshall probably pushed him on? That Car Shield stuff.
Yeah, it's true.
He's like, you got to get Car Shield. Peter Avalon has it.
Yeah. I will say, I don't think Wardlow actually went full Goldberg. He went full Mike Hagar from Final Fight.
Yeah.
Where you can beat up the car with a lead pipe.
Vince McMahon went full Mike Hagar as well.
Yeah, that's true. I thought this was fun. There's a lot of like, hey, I didn't realize Wardlow is certified on that forklift. He ain't. He didn't put the thing in park. He just walked away and it was just kept moving. I was like, oh no, that's not good. But I'm all.
Those aren't easy to operate.
I'm all for some big meaty men slapping meat again. I think we should. Let's finish out the thing the right way. Unfortunately, the problem I have with it is I know they won't finish it out the right way, and I just want Hobbs. If you're gonna beat Wardlow, just beat him. Like, I want to see these two guys have a straight up one-on-one match where there's no trifling ass QT Marshall interference. And I feel like I'm gonna get that
next week. Well, yeah,
you know, I rather just have them fight each other. If you're gonna put Hobbs over Wardlow, fine. That's fine with me. Just do it in a way where he actually just beats him.
Can I interest you in an alternative to big meaty men slapping meat?
What's that?
Athleticgreens.com/Fightful. You listen, the big meaty meat is important, but you got to get your greens as well. Athleticgreens.com/Fightful brings you AG1. One scoop and 8 ounces of water a day gives you everything you need. And right now you get a 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs. It's got everything you need. A multivitamin, minerals, probiotics, adaptogens, and more that work together to deliver your strongest foundation for a better health. It promotes your gut health. So it's got those prebiotics, probiotics, plant-based enzymes that help you digest the food that you're eating. It supports your immunity. Alex could have used that before this weekend. Gives you your daily dose of vitamin C and zinc, both of them. That way you can work on your preventative health. Also your energy. It's got magnesium and B vitamins that give you that sustained energy throughout the day. And if you're working out or if you're just having a rough day, it helps with recovery with those superfoods, adaptogens, antioxidants, trusted by the world's best endurance athletes. I don't know if you guys are a fan of the show Dave or Lil Dicky. He doesn't eat fruits and vegetables. He eats, well, other stuff, but listen, he doesn't really have to if he's got AG1. It's got all those greens, all those superfoods, 75 vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced ingredients in one convenient daily serving. One scoop, 8 ounces of water, shake it up, you drink it, you're good to go. You're gonna feel great. Drinking your multivitamin is absolutely the way to go. You want this over a tablet. It is well worth the investment. Love this stuff. Use it every day. And, you know, since Alex, I'm popping back up in the ring, I got to make sure I take it, you know. Got to make sure I get those greens.
Oh, got to do it.
That is how I was able to do an impaler that caused Gangrel to walk up to me and go, that was a good impaler. As opposed to, don't ever fucking do that again, which is what I was expecting to hear.
Yeah.
Which is what I was expecting to hear.
That's right.
Tom LaValle says Wardlow forgetting the breaks made it better. It did make it better. It added some chaos to the situation, which I thought was very, very funny.
Yeah.
Jambeard says, so now we wait for the Wardlow car smasher and broken car toy set. They should absolutely do a broken.
They should absolutely do that.
Absolutely. Zach Schimmel, you're right. Shaza is going to get squashed from SRS. So far, right now, I'm feeling all right about the Shaza thing. I'll save that for some other shows, but Shaza's my friend, but I just wanted to prove a point. Wanted to prove that this keyboard warrior could slide back in there and beat her up. Mm-hmm. Eloquent says, why is Taya never on Dynamite? I wish I had a good answer for that. She should be. I don't think she's booked anywhere else on Wednesday nights, Alex.
No. I mean, well, she's booked in Milwaukee on Wednesday night tonight. They're just filming it for Friday. So, like, you know, it's just the way they do it.
Eloquent says, hope El Phantasmo comes in for Bullet Club Gold. I've seen a lot of people saying this. So, Jay White, Juice Robinson, they answered the question. Are they still in Bullet Club? They are. Not only are they in Bullet Club, they are in Bullet Club Gold. They announced this. The ultimate rib has to be Jeff Jarrett having some loose affiliation with this out of Global Force Gold. It has to be. But this is, I think, the first offshoot of Bullet Club, besides Bullet Club USA, which is still, you know, they still go over to Japan. We got Bullet Club Gold. Didn't expect to see it. I mean, we've also got Australia as well that appear on the Tamashii show. But what do you think about Bullet Club Gold, Alex?
The name's fine. I like the name. I just love Jay White and Juice Robinson together.
Well, hell yeah.
Ricky and Action Andretti is going to be something. Probably going to do that first. I don't want to hurt the momentum of Ricky overall. But I also want to push Juice Robinson and Jay White to the moon. It's certainly not out of the realm of possibility that we get Jay White and Juice Robinson versus FTR at Double or Nothing. That's a hell of a tag team match. As the fourth or fifth match down the card, probably. So there would be. There's a lot of really great stuff. But like I said, I think Ricky Starks is one of the future top guys of the company. So I don't want to leave him in the dust. But you also feel like Jay White is here and she's teamed up with Juice Robinson. You got to make those guys feel really special.
I want to see a little bit more added to the Japan-based Bullet Club as well. WWE has their own offshoot that isn't on TV right now. The U.S. has theirs with Bullet Club Gold a little bit. But yeah. I would love to see Ace Austin and Chris Bay involved as well because they are – I wish AEW would have got them, honestly. Orange Cassidy versus Buddy Matthews. Man, Orange Cassidy is so good at this. We know Buddy Matthews is good at this. He's one of the best in-ring performers there are. I can't wait for the eventual – Kenny Omega, Buddy Matthews match that they just haven't given us yet, and they owe us for sure. But Orange Cassidy ends up picking up the win here. We got another pin, sort of like in the first match, and I love that. I'm good with the quick pin winning multiple matches. You seem to take a little bit more issue with it, though.
I guess I felt like it was because I think both matches felt overall kind of similar in the fact that you have the heel, the bigger of the two guys, the baby face fighting back against being beat up the whole time. And then at the end, catching in a perfect, by the way, pinning combination that people couldn't kick out of. Okay. So I just felt like I wouldn't have even noticed any of the overall similarity if it had not been the finishes were almost identical, but if you look at each match in a vacuum, they're perfect matches. They're I wouldn't change almost anything about them. Buddy got a chance to really show how valuable he can be. He was kicking out of crazy stuff, taking amazing bumps, doing awesome strength work. He's so fast. There was some really great, solid in-ring storytelling with him and OC. This is Buddy's best match in AEW. I don't think that's a stretch of the imagination to say
incredible.
That.
It was incredible. It was great. Yeah.
This is so good. I love that he got caught by the pin, but as OC was being taken up the ramp, he's sitting there to the camera like, I almost had you. I was that close. And I loved it. I thought this was excellent. And I'm really happy they got a chance to have Buddy really, really, really show out.
Brent Lockman says Buddy looks like Pat Buck took the super serum. And Rob Wilkins wanted Two Belts Buddy coexisting with Rob and Maggie Friday at 3 p.m. Ricardo says, I wanted Bud Matt to take that title from OC. Didn't think it was a realistic thing. I didn't think he was going to win that international title, but I'll say this. I actually love the idea that Orange Cassidy is such a good fighting champion that it leveled up the title, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Like, yes. Rob Van Dam did that to the point to where that was main eventing ECW pay-per-views over the world title at some points. It was, and I don't think that's going to happen with Orange Cassidy, but he's certainly making that his own, and I really love it. Mm-hmm. Zach Schimmel says, hear me out. International title is built. OC has had his run. Title means more. Let's have a new champion. I thought Matthews was the guy. How would you have felt if they went with Matthews as the guy?
I would have loved it. I've been a champion of that guy since 2018. Like as soon as he showed up, leveled up Buddy Murphy in a 205 Live, where I was like, okay, I get that the storyline is he's got to get on the scale. If he was 205, then the guys who you were saying were 170 were actually 140, because the guy, he was just walking around like just a side of beef. But he was so good in that amazing year of 2018 in 205 Live that I've always, always, always had a soft spot in my heart for him. And I'm so happy that he's getting a chance to really show how good he is in AEW, because he's so good.
He told me it was 2019, that SummerSlam weekend. He told me he was at 215. And he was like, you'd be surprised at what guys that look like me weigh. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time, like I asked EC3 for, it was a segment I did, Wikipedia Fact or Fiction.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this says that you're 246 pounds. And he's like, 246? He's like, I've never been above 225 in my entire life.
Right.
And he said that like when Jeremy Borash would call him 240 something, he'd be like, stop it. If they got a problem with the number on the scale when I look like this, like that's a them problem, not me. Yeah. Then somebody went and changed his Wikipedia page to 252 pounds after we did that interview. So it's wild to think like to see these people and then see what they really, really weigh, because ultimately they're jacked. What's it matter? Jambeard says, give me OC Suzuki for the title at Forbidden Door. That would be fun too. Sawyer says, the story of the OC Buddy match told entirely through Julia's face and posture. She's killing it. The match hump, members rise. Julia did great. She has been an invaluable addition, I think.
She's been so great, and I loved that they used the crossover between Rampage to Battle of the Belts after she had the match with Anna Jay.
Sure.
As she like stared down Orange Cassidy, and Orange Cassidy had his match with Jalisco, and then they basically had that. I love that you can blend through that the storytelling there. She's invaluable to the presentation of that group.
Jamieard says, who would you like to see from the AEW ROH roster who isn't also on the New Japan roster join Bullet Club Gold? They say, I hope it's Scorpio Sky. I think Scorpio Sky would be a phenomenal shout. Like, I think that would be really fitting for him. I mean, they've got, you know, SCU had a little bit of history with Bullet Club in the past, but I look at that and I think, man, that would be fun.
Yeah.
I kind of think Dustin Rhodes would be fun.
It might be fun.
I think that would be kind of fun just to have him involved in something like that. I think it should be some like relatively established names. I think Archer would be a good one as well.
Archer would be great.
But you know, Archer's got history with them as well. So I guess we'll see. Also, I want to shout out Caden, who is filling in for Luis tonight in the moderating, doing a great job. Big thank you. We had the Christian Cage Luchasaurus vignette and figure four Nurse Lock says, I'm cautiously optimistic about badass killer Luchasaurus. Give him 6 months of just mowing people down with no Fs given. And that gash on Don's head, damn. Oh, boy. Don got busted open big. This is another week of these vignettes. I'm still liking them. I don't want them to go like forever and ever and ever. I also don't want to see him just crushing donks. I want to see him crush some people that that matter. Yeah. But I think that would be cool. And Tom LaValle gets it. Dustin Rhodes, gold again. There you go, my friend. You understand it. You get it. You get it. Mm-hmm. Meet Normus says, "Hi, buddies. As soon as I saw the Hobbs mobile, I knew it was getting smashed. WWE won't travel Shotzi's tank, so this Hoopty didn't stand a chance. I do need Hobbs away from QT, Kate, and the gang. This match should hump. Listen, I like QTV. I don't care. I enjoy it.
I'm sure you do.
I like his finish, too. Have you seen his finish?
It's cool.
That dirt sheet driver? Holy shit. Ethan Page comes out, says he hasn't tanned, he hasn't bathed or done his hair, and he wants to know what's in the contract. He got duped, Alex. Matt Hardy said, "Oh, we got our own freedom. We get the match that we want as well. We got a lot of things back." Well, this leads to a ruckus where the firm is beating up Hook and Matt Hardy. They're beating up everybody associated with Matt. Everybody that Matt Hardy's ever known is getting their asses whipped right now. Isaiah Cassidy's out there getting beaten up. Jeff Hardy's back. FightfulSelect.com reported tonight that Jeff Hardy was backstage and he would be back. Best $5 in the business. Got an incredible pop. Looked great physically. That's great to see. Conflicted feelings, obviously.
Yeah.
Because this isn't like, oh, well, he's getting a second chance. This is like a lot of chances. This is a whole lot of chances. Uh-huh. And like, these are the ones that we know about. Like, we don't know like what other issues may have happened, but you know, there was the Sting incident. There was the him getting fired in 03. Of course, there was right after he left the company where there was that situation. There was this past situation. There was what led to his WWE departure. Michael Keyes says, "I'm just over Jeff Hardy. Can we stop?" Dan says, "Jeff Hardy getting back on TV after his 11th at the UI before Punk is a bad joke." I don't think those are comparable situations.
I don't think they're comparable situations.
Comparable situations at all. And we have Andy Rudd saying, "I have several questions about Jeff, and I probably won't get real answers. Just say, hope he stays safe, off the booze, and in the driver's seat. I'm worried." Yeah. At this point, I don't feel comfortable if I ever hear that Jeff is doing anything like that, even in his free time. I'm not here to finger wag about addiction or anything like that.
No.
But, you know, I'd heard last year, WrestleMania weekend, somebody was drinking with Jeff. Well, it's not a good idea.
No.
Then I would hear after that, well, there was a situation and like he was in the lobby of the hotel and he had drank. Okay, well, that sucks. And then what happened. You're putting lives at risk constantly, repeatedly, putting people at risk. It can't happen again.
No.
Jeff needs to take the precautions. AEW needs to take the precautions. I know a lot of people point at Matt. He ain't his brother's keeper. You can't, if you're putting this on Matt, you can't put it on Matt. He can only do as much as he can. But as a company, AEW can certainly do an awful lot of a lot more. Jeff Hardy has to do a lot more. Work it into his deal. Get him a driver. Make sure he's always got a driver. Somebody is saying, why are they not similar situations? How the fuck are they similar situations? All due respect.
No.
The CM Punk and Jeff Hardy things are nowhere near the same situations. No. Absolutely not the same situations. Can't even be compared. Like, just not the same. No disrespect, Michael. Like you a lot, but nowhere near the same thing.
I can say I don't think either one of them should be back. I'm sorry, that's not me saying it, but you can say
sure.
I don't think either one of them back. But it's not me saying I don't think that Jeff should be back because I don't think Punk should be back. It's not causation. It's not the same thing. So I think that there's a professional standpoint between the Punk thing. I think that there is a very specific health and legal thing for Jeff. If alcoholism is a horrible thing, addiction, relapses, a very, very good friend of mine who I watched spiral into alcoholism, got his life back together. He's now married with a kid. Like, he's years sober, but it is difficult for him every day of his life to not, you know, he's got to actually concentrate on it. So the thing of it is I just hope this is what Jeff needs. And that, not what he wants, what he needs, and that that AEW is going to put in place the safeguards for him to do the thing that he needs to do to be healthy mentally,
and
while not allowing him to slip back into addiction and the destructive, not only self-destructive, but destructive to anybody else. That is, but for the grace of God situation, that any of the times he's gotten behind the wheel while drunk, he didn't kill somebody.
Or himself, or people.
Himself or somebody else. As far as I know, there's no indication that there was alcohol involved. But you have a beloved person in your organization who in January lost his life in a car accident. Like, you cannot allow this kind of thing to even be possible. So when you say get him a driver, I mean, like, there is a guy in every city that they go to who meets Jeff at the airport. Jeff gets in that guy's car. That guy drives him to the hotel. That guy picks him up. That guy drives him to the venue. That's it. Like, you got to figure out ways of safeguarding him against all that kind of stuff, because there's just, the possible tragedy is too horrible to even comprehend. So I need this to be a happy ending, because if it turns out to be anything less than that, it's going to be really sad for a lot of people who I see on Twitter saying, yay, Jeff Hardy's back. He's my favorite. I grew up loving this guy. I did too. Like, Jeff Hardy was my favorite guy the first year or two when I was watching wrestling. I was like, this guy's amazing. How can he do those amazing feats of daring do, where he flings himself off a 20-foot ladder? Well, you know how he does it is because he self-medicates afterwards because he's in horrible pain. And this is what has happened to him over 20 years of doing it. And so I want everyone to come out of this okay, Jeff especially included.
And, you know, there will be people that say, well, why is it just on AEW? It's not just on AEW. It's on Jeff, too. But if they're going to use him, knowing what we know about Jeff Hardy, then you got to take those safeguards. You have to protect not only Jeff, you have to protect other people and help Jeff as much as he possibly can. There's somebody that says, where was it? Jeff Hardy's driver is RJ City. That's a show you never knew you needed. Listen, I want his life to get better, not worse. Yeah, I'm not looking like I not at all. Callum says, I don't know how I feel about Jeff Hardy returning. I hope he finally got past his demons. Me too. And I'm not going to do is say, yeah, but we've seen this happen so many times, because I don't want to think like that. I want to think and hope that he gets past it and that nobody gets hurt and that his family can get better. And again, that this has a happy ending instead of a tragic one.
Yeah.
And he's lost if he messes up again, don't Impact won't hire him. WWE won't hire him. AEW won't hire him, because all three companies have experienced this now. Uh-huh. Jam Beard says, to me, the comparable guy in Jeff's situation is how Jake the Snake used to be. Hope Jeff gets clean like Jake did. Yeah. And I mean, it's necessary. It's necessary. Knock Bogan says, no love for Jeff. It reminds me of my brother who drunk drove and crashed the people in his car. Was more mad he got caught than actually drunk driving. Yeah. And that's the unfortunate situation that a lot of these people are in. The fact that they even get behind the wheel is usually reflective of how they feel if something goes wrong or if they get caught. Because if you were that worried about it, you wouldn't put yourself in that position to begin with. But Tom LaValle says, for only $5, I knew Jeff Hardy was back the best. Well, thank you so much for that. I greatly appreciate it. Sawyer says, Hook marking for Jeff made it worth it for me. You know, he grew up behind the TNA curtain. Great moment, but I'm nervous. I mean, around the time he was born, Taz was working a few matches with the Hardys as well. Brent Lockwin says, if you're familiar for the measures they had in place for Travis Warren with Blind Melon, those are the measures Hardy probably needs. I hope he's okay. I'm not. I mean, but I will familiarize myself with them. Thank you for passing that up. Zhao says, I'm missing Angelico. Is he stuck in limbo? He does commentary. I think it's a Spanish commentary sometimes. But, like, occasionally he's on Dark and Elevation and ROH. But he's been on there a couple times of late. Like, he did a thing. Like, he teamed with Serpentico and Luther recently, which I think they were called the Spanish Announce Project.
Yeah, they were.
I love Angelico.
Like I love Angelico too. He's doing great stuff when he's doing his comedy stuff. But that dude is really, really special.
I was shocked WWE didn't come after him after Lucha Underground season one, but those contracts.
Yeah. I would love, unironically love, even if it's a brief one, an Angelico run with a pure title in ROH. Because that dude could do some really great. He's famous from Lucha Underground. From doing crazy running drop kicks off of stuff, but
oh my God,
he's great on the mat. He's so good on the mat.
Kenny Omega has a promo remotely where he says that Hangman isn't necessarily somebody that he likes all the time, but he's still family to them even after all they've been through. And he's going to do something very bad to BCC whenever he gets the opportunity. Well, before that, Mox and Claudio had to beat the living shit out of Nakazawa and Cutler. Nakazawa has 3 Dynamite matches against Moxley. That's not like fair. He's been on there 4 times, 3 times against Moxley. Who'd that guy piss off? When I think of Nakazawa, I just always remember how much Mike Tyson marked out watching him years ago. Like, he loved it. He was clapping and all that. But this is a different Nakazawa. This was the most serious Nakazawa maybe we ever got because his friends were affected. And I thought that the way that he and Cutler, who does not get nearly enough credit for his work, the way that they played this stuff, like, they knew they couldn't be comedy here. They had to be serious because of the way the situation. But they still got that ass whipped, Alex.
Oh, they sure did. I really love this. Cutler fighting back the whole time with Moxley actually selling for him a little bit, but you knew it was only a matter of time before Cutler went down. Nakazawa losing his shoes in the middle of the being swung. And also, I really like, I want to talk about the Omega promo. I thought that was really cool to see, like, serious Kenny Omega. Like, you hurt my brothers.
Great.
I'm coming for you. I thought there was a lot of really excellent layers to it. The only problem I had with it was that in the background, just over his left shoulder, was this painting. And I kept just giggling to myself, knowing that this was the painting in the background of that very, very, very specific, very serious promo. I thought that was so funny. Hey, we saw that it didn't take him too long to show up and do what he said he was going to do.
It was just announced Chicago, AEW. June 21st, I was actually told before this show that that's going to be a big night for AEW. I don't know what that means, but it was hint that date kept on just getting thrown at me today. And it's by a person who is a very reliable source. And they're like, the Dynamite's the only one without a show venue or tickets on sale announced. So, my God, it's a show before Forbidden Door as well. We got Jambeard saying Cutler's mask made it look like he was bleeding from the eyes like a horror movie. It was great. He is so good at that. He's so good at that. We've also got the follow-up to this. And that was Kenny Omega coming out looking jacked, by the way.
Yeah.
But then he stops from saving his buddies. And the Young Bucks are back. And we had reported that Matt Jackson was going to stay on TV in some capacity, but there he is arm taped up or mm-hmm. bandaged up, mm-hmm. throwing the super kick. They grab the gearbox and they're going to go after Moxley, but then the screwdriver's brought out to a great reaction. Just get the hose for this storyline. Not only are we doing BCC and the Elite, mm-hmm. you've got the whole Hangman thing there. The mm-hmm. thing that put AEW from a story perspective on its mm-hmm. back while they were able to build people like MJF. We get more of that. There are more layers to this onion. Mm-hmm. Well, buddy, I'm about to chop into that son of a bitch. There's going to be some tears a flowing, Alex. Mm-hmm. Loving this. Loving it.
Yeah, I love that there's a lot of gray area, particularly for Hangman, of his loyalties that he still feels to the Bucks, but never quite knowing at least himself where he could stand with Kenny, and Kenny being like, listen, Hangman, you know, we've had our problems, so I'm not really sure, but like, it wasn't okay what you did to Hangman. But like that little gray area between them, finally getting them to be on the same page is going to be a really cool moment. And yeah, this is going to be great. Like Kenny and the Hung Bucks versus BCC you could drench me in it. I want to bathe in it. It's just going to be the best thing. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Eloquent says, any word on when Thunder Rosa comes back to the ring? I check in every now and then. Haven't really heard an update, unfortunately. I mean, I would expect her to be around at the shows as much as possible, especially since Britt kind of put it out there. I don't know why you can't be there. Anthony Martin says, super bum, Dynamite is the same night I have tickets to see Fallout Boy at Wrigley. Is that the night Punk returns? I'll say yes. There you go. I'm reporting it right now. Yes. Aggregated everybody. Everybody aggregated. That's the night that CM Punk returns, is June 21st.
All right. There you go.
Kyler, clip this. And also make sure to edit it if I'm wrong. If I am wrong, I might need to go on a vacation, Alex. Might need to get the hell away.
Yeah, I get it.
But, you know, even if I do, I'll be able to watch all my favorite shows. Thanks to NordVPN.com/Fightful. Alex, you know what one of my least favorite things to do is?
What's that?
When a new show that I like drops weekly, like on streaming services, sometimes you got to wait till 3 a.m. Eastern because you got to wait till midnight Pacific, right? Well, not with NordVPN.com/Fightful, because I can subscribe to overseas services. And as a result, I'm watching those shows on their time. So it's 5 hours ahead. I get to watch it at 7 p.m. Eastern. Hot diggity darn. You get a great deal, 4 additional months free, a free gift, a 30-day money-back guarantee. There's nothing to lose out on a NordVPN.com/Fightful. In fact, the UFC pay-per-view that I bought this past weekend at a severely reduced price paid for the entirety of the subscription with the savings that I got there. And listen, you never know what WWE might do to make a buck, right? I might bring back full price pay-per-views. You don't know, but never fear, because you don't even have to worry about Peacock. You can get the old WWE network interface like I have with NordVPN.com/Fightful. That's just one of the many features that you got there. You got that online threat protection as well, that blocks online trackers, hackers, and gets snoops away from your data. Their newest feature protects you from ads, trackers, and malware. You get secure and private access to the internet, protect all your devices, even your router and smart TVs, and enjoy a fast and stable connection anywhere with the fastest VPN in the world. You got some of the biggest names on the internet, like Philip DeFranco, Casey Neistat, I think that's how you pronounce his name. But most importantly, Sean Ross Sapp and Fightful talking about NordVPN.com/Fightful. I love it. You can get 59% off plus 3 extra months. They've got a series of deals, but you got that 30-day money-back guarantee as well. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful. Absolutely love these guys. Bill says, Alex sounds like he's a part of the D'Angelo family. I met Tony D at Wally Mania, of all places. Cool. He was with Julius Creed.
Perfect.
It was just fantastic. Sky Blue and Riho against Tony and Ruby. Sky Blue had been under a tiered deal. She is now fully All Elite. The Real Nerd says Sky Blue appreciation chat. Happy that she's All Elite. How'd you feel about this match, Alex?
I mean, I think we kind of knew what it was going to be. Sky Blue taking the pin and, hey, it's the Outcasts. They're going to paint a yellow L on somebody's. And look, it's going to be a run-in by Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker. And I feel like we haven't got a lot of new stuff here. Like, I don't know what the next step is.
I just want to hit you guys with a stat. Sky Blue is 0-18 on Rampage and Dynamite.
Mm.
At some point, she's got to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like how many times? Listen, and she's great. She should be signed. She's improving at such a quick rate. But we've been seeing this song and dance for 16 months now. You know, she'll face Ruby and Tony and Britt and Marina and Serena and everybody, Soraya, all these people, and she always loses. Always loses. At some point, it stops becoming compelling. I was a little convinced. I was like, all right, are they going to give her the win with maybe Riho tonight? Mm-hmm. Nope, not happening. Then you had the run-in. A lot of people putting a lot of stock into what Britt was wearing, the colors that she was wearing, Alex. I don't think there's any telegraphing there.
I don't know. I want forward movement of the storyline because it feels like they're taking up the women's title with it, and it's not really doing much. Like the Outcasts could add Athena, the homegrowns could add somebody. I don't know who, but like. It just feels like it's been the same cast of characters doing the same kind of matches with the same kind of finish for a while.
We got somebody in here that keeps on saying, oh, but the actual match, the moves, the wrestling, anything. Hey, do you have TV? You can physically watch the match if you want to see us call play-by-play because we don't fucking call play-by-play. We'll talk about some spots that we like, if we like the winner and loser and all that. I see you in here. Just so you know, here's your attention. Mm-hmm. If you want play by play, well, go turn on the show. You can watch it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I liked? I always like Tony Storm's hip attack in the corner. Looks fucking great. You know what I'm not going to do? Break down each move individually. Because you know what's funny, Alex? I got bitched at a lot this past weekend after doing a real good impaler. Yeah, people were like, oh, he's got the nerve to rip on wrestling moves. No, I don't really do that. Mm. I don't really do that. I definitely don't do that on Twitter. But I'm not going play by play of this stuff. They can watch the show. They can see. Mm-hmm. They can watch the highlights of it. We'll talk about points of interest that we like and that we don't like and spots in the match that we think could, should, would happen. But hey, Playboy, go do it. Be the change that you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
If you're that concerned about it, if you see a gap in our coverage, if you see a gap in somebody else's coverage, fill that gap. That's what I did. Caden says, same trope, three segments in a row, face makes a save. Yeah, it becomes the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. Vasco says, do you think the Outcasts need to recruit? If so, who? Athena is the one that stands out, Alex.
It's a perfect shout. Like, you know, she was never appreciated the way that she deserved on the main roster of WWE. When she came to AEW, it's the same story that they're telling with all the other Outcasts, that everyone was so happy to see her. But if they didn't book her to win her first title match, everyone kind of got tired of her. So she turned heel, and now she's having an amazing run as ROH Women's Champion as a heel. It's a perfect story for her to be involved in it as well.
We've got Jesse saying, sad to see how lackadaisical AEW health standards are. Is not happy about all the blood. Mr. Nice Guy Rye says, the women's angle with originals Outcast is completely stale and directionless. Big fan of Britt, Jamie, Soraya, and Tony. The rest of them are the same thing every week. It is. Listen, Shawn Michaels gets some criticism for basically playing his greatest hits. And I asked him about it personally. And he goes, yeah, the ripoffs of my angles that were very good. He's like, they were just 30 years ago. And he even said, you know, maybe we could get away with doing angles that were 30 years old then because it wasn't as replayed and documented and all that. And he goes, but if people keep pointing to those angles and saying, well, that was just a good angle that Shawn did. He's like, well, I'm glad that people remember it. Maybe it'll work for a different generation or for a different gender. And this is something I brought up a lot, Alex. Try to play some of the hits with old angles that maybe worked elsewhere. If you can't come up with anything else, see what you got, apply it, and see how gender switches things up. See how gender adjusts things with women. Uh-huh. Demuse09 says, so Britt and Jamie came out separately tonight for the save. Is this illogical booking, foreshadowing that there might be some dissension, or is Britt waiting for her falafel and catering?
That's the second one.
The falafel?
She got stuck behind the falafel table.
I mean, we saw Becky with, what was it? Quinoa at one point.
Yes, it happens.
It does. But yeah, I don't know the reason behind that. Again, that's one of those things that I hope they see the questions of and they give answers to as well. Mm-hmm. I think that would be very, very beneficial. We got Mr. Nice Guy Rye. We already read that one. My bad. Knocked Bogan says, Alex, you're not getting forward movement at one segment match a week. A week takes ages. Difference of long-term story and a story that takes a long time to tell.
I think my thing has always been, and it's been since I started reviewing stuff for Fightful, is that if you look at a story, it has chapters. If there's chapters 1 through, let's say, 12, if you're just telling chapter 3 over and over again every week, because it's the same basic idea. Like, I don't see any difference between what happened tonight on Dynamite and what has happened on Rampages and Dynamites for the last month. There was the one thing that was good, which was when Jamie Hayter and Riho had a title match against each other, because they're technically on the same side and they killed each other and came out like still on this good on the same page. At least that was different. But most every week, it's like you can boil it down to the same idea, the same chapters being told every week. I just don't love it.
Chi-Town Spurs says, just popping in to say the Raptors lost to a 9-year-old girl. Listen, friend, I was a Bulls fan before I embraced Toronto. Bulls haven't won shit in a long time, and that hurts me to say as well. Izzy says, the Boss and the Ross. That's the new list in your boy name. I want one that's better than the terrible name that we have now. Jambeard says, but Sean, we need you to do a live play-by-play of Tony's butt to the face from that impact move. Were you like Taz? No, but I will say it's one of the most convincing offensive moves they have. The sell is always great.
Yeah.
Michael Keyes says, shouldn't have compared the Jeff situation to anything else earlier. Just annoyed by it for personal reason. Please keep up the great work. I mean, I know you didn't mean anything malicious by it. I know you to be a good person. And listen, it's understandable and it is completely acceptable to be upset or feel some type of way about that. Absolutely. Without a doubt. Like, you won't get any complaints out of me there. William Tucker saying, looking forward to BCC versus the Elite. But could they, or should they have waited another week? I don't know.
Well, it all depends on, again, now, maybe you don't have to have them come back. And now you could have just had Nakazawa and Cutler out there trying to prove something to get revenge for their friends, and they get their asses handed to them tonight. And then next week, the BCC comes out and says, there's nobody left for us to beat up. So we're just going to have to beat up everybody else in the locker room. And then you could have Omega and the Bucks come back, and you could do that a second. All I want to do is make sure that we're not jumping the leap back to then have next week have no progression of the story. Because if we're really not going to get this until Double or Nothing, which by all means, this is a huge, huge match to do. That's a lot of Wednesdays to fill between now and the end of May. So I just want to make sure there is incremental progress every week in telling the story. Well, time will tell if it was too early.
Chi-Town Spurs says, There are other women that can have a match. This has been taking up the Lones Women Dynamite match on Dynamite in ages. Do a backstage interview or promo. Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree. Maybe integrate it with some other stories as well. Mm-hmm. Like, why is Jade just on an island all by herself? Why can't some of this creep
I've
over?
I've never understood that. I've always said Jade's character would be like, I always say it's like Daniel Plainview from There Will Be Blood, Daniel Day-Lewis,
yeah.
Who's looking at a map and points to a thing, says, this. Why don't I own this? That's who I feel like Jade should be. I should have all of the belts. And once I beat that bitch for her title, I'm coming for the guy's titles. Like, that's the character you've created for Jade, because that's how she carries herself, how she speaks, how she moves, everything. So once you've created a character like that, having her never like move in that direction feels like you're belying the character and saying that Jade believes that there is a glass ceiling for her. And I do not believe that Jade believes there is a glass ceiling.
Flun Dinger says storytelling is progression. If there's no progress, there's no story. In TV, you need at least two of three things to keep viewers: spectacle, quality, and progression. And one is always progression. I agree. Mm-hmm. It's got to feel like, it feels like there's something new going on. Like, it's not the same test pattern over and over and over again. That's what I feel like I'm seeing out of this angle, and I'm ready to not see this out of this angle anymore. So I completely agree, and I thought that was a wonderful humper chat that we got from Flynn Dinger. Spectacle. Make them feel like you haven't seen something you've seen before. Quality has to be good, and then progression. Do something a little different.
Yeah.
Speaking of different, guys, I announced today, I mentioned this a while back too, because we did this interview a while back. I've got an interview and feature for Nick Comoroto coming up soon. He's never done an interview before. Ours was the first. We connected over that ADHD post that he had had, and we got in touch. We did an interview. I'm working to finish that feature. It got a little bit sidetracked during WrestleMania season, but you guys are going to love this, especially if you've got ADHD, you got a family member, a kid, sibling, anything, and they're having trouble dealing with it. He and I found a lot of contrasts of what we excel in and what we struggle with. And I think that really puts that in perspective. That will be coming sooner than later. Jambeard says, I can say leave Gang Wars match for later. Double or Nothing, do Brian Mox versus the reformation of Kenny and Hanger. I mean, that's another aspect, is that Kenny and Hangman are one of the all-time great AEW tag mm-hmm. teams, even though we look at them more as AEW world champions.
Mm-hmm. So you could break it up a little bit. You could also do the Bucks versus Yuta and Claudio in a separate tag match. You could do some fun stuff there.
Keith Lee versus Chris Jericho. There's a funny spot where Keith Lee kisses Jericho on the head, and Jericho is like, "The fuck?" type of thing. I know that you hate Jericho winning.
Hmm.
I've got mixed feelings.
They telegraphed it. They telegraphed it.
So. They did telegraph it. He wasn't going to beat Jericho tonight.
No.
There are some things I like and I don't like about this. Uh-huh. I like that it was Swerve that caused this. Mr. Acosta says, Swerve turned on Lee in December. Whoa, that sounds kind of personal, pal. Anyway, we shouldn't have needed this to get to a Swerve Keith Lee singles match.
No.
Because the turn was 5 months ago. But I'm glad that it's happening. I'm glad that Swerve made it a thing and mentioned it, because that's immediately what I thought. Who else does he have issues with? I'm really glad that that happened, because Swerve and Lee has to happen. It has to be on like Double or Nothing. We need that. And then we can go towards the Darby stuff even more, because Darby's got other things. But I would love that to be like sort of the thing. Like, Swerve is petty and he doesn't forget. So now he's going back after Keith Lee. And then after that, he's going to go back after Darby. He lets you forget, then he takes advantage of it.
Yeah.
I thought the match was pretty good. The crowd was sometimes into it, but then a lot of times not. How'd you feel about it?
Swerve doing the the Denzel meme. I'm leaving here with something. Yeah. I'm leaving here with something. Like, he actually just straight up said it. And so we knew. He's like, oh, right. I had forgotten that I had some unfinished business. Well, we didn't swerve because we've been waiting for you guys to finish this feud for months now. So I'm glad that they're actually rekindling the feud. And that's good. But him saying, I'm going to, you know, figure out, finish the unfinished business, just made me, okay, so when, not if, when does Swerve come out of the crowd wearing his balaclava, hit him with something, turned out to was the ring bell, and cost Keith Lee the match. And it turned, that happened, but there were a lot of fun stuff that happened in between, which was, my favorite one was Chris Jericho getting the knees up on a Keith Lee moonsault, which hurt Jericho more than it hurt Keith Lee, which I love that spot. And that should be, if anybody ever gets the knees up on a Keith Lee moonsault, the rule is that hurts you more than it hurts Keith. Yes. That should be canon, because that was so cool. Because honestly, that's a great way to snap both femurs. The amount of weight coming down on your knees in that particular configuration was great.
There was a thing Big Boss Man, Big Bubba, used to do where he would like headbutt the Giant or one of the Tongans, and then he would sell it because he was like, ah, regret. One of those. Yes. I love that idea that it doesn't always work. Well, I love that kayfabe thing that if you're going to headbutt Ming, just don't, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Evil Wizard says, Chris Jericho had a face like a bulldog eating a wasp as Cole Lee walked up the ramp. I really thought that Jericho did Keith Lee a big service the last couple of weeks, playing up like how threatening he is and how much of a competitor he is. Chris Jericho was not keen on having this match, being in this match, being confronted by Keith Lee. That's thought that that was a world he would never have to approach. He thought that he could just kind of avoid him, mind his own business, and not deal with it. But unfortunately for him, Keith Lee was like, no, 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 no. This is somebody that I have a professional courtesy for. And what we saw from Adam Cole was somebody who likely would not have helped Keith Lee until he was shown that mutual respect. And he's like, well, you know what? Now I got your back too. I appreciate what you did for me. I thought that those elements of storytelling were great. And now Swerve is involved somehow, just lurking around him and Brian Cage. So I'm liking the multi directions that we're getting here between Jericho, Adam Cole, Keith Lee, Swerve. There's a lot of weaving in and out, which I think that a lot of these stories could stand to do. That's why I think Outcasts and Originals weave it into Jade. In and out of Jade and what she's doing as well. Right. Whatever happened, like somebody's getting a shot at Jade, one of the Outcasts or the Originals. The other wing cat cost them the title. That should be done a little bit more, I think.
I love the weaving in and out of storylines. I think that there is a lot of threading of the needle that has to happen. And I don't trust almost anyone to be on the ball enough to handle that kind of tightrope walking. But I think if it's successful, it can be like really, really, really special. So I think there's a really lot of fun things you can do along the way here. A Keith Lee and Darby versus Cage and Swerve match is a possibility, which could be a lot of fun, because mostly I just want to watch Keith Lee hurl Darby Allin at people like a javelin, because that would be a lot of fun. I think we're building to an Adam Cole versus Jericho match, Double or Nothing. That feels fairly certain at this point, but I wouldn't mind seeing Daniel Garcia pull up his big boy pants and challenge Keith Lee to a match, because he's feeling all swole. That could be a lot of fun too. There's a lot of really interesting things you can go here in different ways. I like it.
Bizarro Big L says, coincidence that Keith Lee and Adam Cole do the same hand sign on opposite sides. Love to see Jeff back. Looks great. Praying for his success. Can't wait for Nick Wayne. Sean, show names, The Boiling Point, Vans Dumping Ground, or Blue Chew Mail Hour. Oh, Jesus. No thanks. No thanks. Vans Dumping Ground sounds like the sponsored names of toilets on the Warp Tour. I'm not interested in that at all. I think we might just do Fightful Live at this point. My God. Duckman says Swerve is so smooth in the ring. I love his back kicks. His back kicks are one of my favorite offensive maneuvers in pro wrestling ever. They always look good. They always sound good. Mm-hmm. William Tucker wraps us up by saying Swerve should be the one to beat OC for the international belt. I don't dislike that idea at all. No. I rather enjoy it. I'll tell you what else I enjoy, guys. You all subscribing to FightfulSelect.com. Got another Q&A this week. You can ask me a bunch of questions about a bunch of things. We are 67 away from getting back to 10,000. I never thought we'd get there once, much less twice. I thought when Sons of Bitches stopped getting bitten, that wouldn't happen anymore.
Right.
But one LT photo says, did you really just say Punk's back June 21st? This is a super chat, but it's a super trap is what this is.
Yeah, well, it really is.
This is a trap. This is a trap. Did I say it? Kinda. Did somebody already post about it on Twitter? Probably. Probably. Do they lack context? Probably. Yep. Am I serious?
No.
Maybe. Maybe I'm serious.
Perhaps.
Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on the Twitter at Alex Sour Graps. You can find me on Fightful Select reviewing SmackDown while watching Rampage, whenever the hell that starts this Friday, depending on when the last play-in game finishes. And then on Mondays, reviewing Raw with Miss Kayfabe. Tuesdays, reviewing NXT right on this channel with Miss Kayfabe, and then right back here on Wednesdays. Also, anytime there's a pay-per-view over in Fightful Select, me and Kate will be doing a review of that as well.
Guys, thank you all so much. Please leave a thumbs up. I greatly appreciate you all. Until next time, we're out.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.